Welcome to Sports Scope, the most influential sports talk show in the nation. Stay tuned for updates and great sports content.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Sports Scope. I'm your host, Robert Butler. I got a lot of playoff games on tonight. I'm keeping up with them myself. I just read that Kristaps Porzingis here for the Celtics. He's going to be out. Andrew Wojciechowski, I expect to miss a minimum of several games with soleus strain. So he's that's not good. Not good for the big man there for the Boston Celtics. I'll comment. I also want to talk about, I think this may be the best series coming up. This Nuggets and Timberwolves series. Possibly the winner of that series could be in the NBA champion, not just the finals, in my opinion. Also going to go over my thoughts on the NFL draft in around 30 minutes past the hour. Returning guest, one of my favorites here, Rich Ferris from Cumulus Radio's 104.5 The Zone. We're going to talk about the Tennessee Titans draft. Didn't get a lot of love from the national media from the draft as a whole, but get his breakdown of the draft and his thoughts on these players here. So stand by. We'll take our first and only break. I'll be back here in 49 seconds. We'll hit the ground running here on SportsScope. Hello, SportsScope followers. The program has seen tremendous growth since going 5 days a week. I just wanted to thank everybody for your cash contributions and sharing the program with friends and families. Just a reminder, if you want to contribute to the program, go to the Cash App, the Cash Sign, and SportsScope. There are other ways to contribute to the program listed at the bottom of the screen. If you want to advertise on the program, go to sports, that is sports with an S, another S, scope, SKOPE, at gmail.com, just like it's listed at the bottom of the screen. Thank you and enjoy the program. Alrighty then, trying to get my screen squared away here. But anyways, let's talk a little bit about the draft. Now, folks, I've got to go out of town later on this week. This will be the last live show of the week. I'm trying to get things situated here. Not sure when I'm going to be totally situated here, but eventually it's going to be to regular 5 days a week live show. This kind of bear with me here. Just working on a few different things here all at once, and it's a one-man show with a limited budget. So this kind of bear with me, because I do know that part of the marketing of this show is getting those clips out, which is a lot more time consuming than one would think. Okay. All right. So we had a draft. We had it completed. So the draft thoughts, the truth about the NFL draft, experts and whatnot, that nobody really knows these players past the second round, unless they're a skilled player from a major Power Five conference, itself, or maybe a Mel Kiper, and he doesn't bat 1,000. Some of you older listeners recall, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, he said USC's Mike Williams going to Hall of Fame, and the guy was pretty much a bust at the wide receiver position. So nobody bats 1,000. Nobody really knows. Who would have thought Puka Nacua, a fifth-round pick with the L.A. Rams last year, would end up being a Rookie of the Year candidate? You know, he barely. I would have voted Puka Nacua, all the records he set as a rookie of the Year. Stroud ended up getting it, C.J. Stroud. But remember, Stroud missed two games with a concussion. Puka did not. And this guy was a fifth-round draft pick last year. So that's just one of many examples. Audemon St. Brown just signed a major extension with the Detroit Lions. He was a fourth-round pick. So people really don't know. Some players, I've watched the University of Tennessee players for over 30 years. I've seen certain players, and I thought, okay, that guy's going to be a star. This guy's going to be a star in the NFL. And then I realized that the guy's just okay in the NFL. Or I'll see a guy from Tennessee think, well, he was very average at Tennessee. He'd be lucky to make the roster. And that guy would be a Pro Bowler. So it's just really hard. A lot of it is system. A lot of it is keeping the player staying healthy. You know, it's – I guess Pickles, it's pretty much a crapshoot, to say the least, once you get past the second round. And even in the first two picks, we don't never know. You know, so, again, Puka Nacua, fifth-round pick, start. Who would have thought, right? And of course, with all these wide receivers, there was a study that came out last week before this draft happened that receiver is the biggest, over the past 20 years, study, biggest bust trait of any position. I would have thought it would have been quarterback because quarterback is so hard to find. Less than 25% of wide receivers hit. So there's a lot of wild grades here. I've got Rich Ferris coming up here past 25, 30 minutes past the hour. We're going to talk about the Titans. The Titans, the Athletic, says they had the 25th, the 26th ranked draft here. They said it was towards the end there, okay? And, of course, they said the Steelers, which I didn't see much with it, and the Lions, I didn't see much with their – they were 2-3. Now, I understand what they say with the Bears, but they had the Falcons at 32 because they simply did not like the fact that Michael Penix was drafted in the first round, and I disagree with that. So, I guess it's opinions are like rear ends. Everybody's got one, right, Pickles? Okay, so again – This list on the Athletic, for example, they had the Buffalo Bills ranked 20th. All right, well, the Bills had a lot of holes. Okay, they got rid of Stephon Diggs. They traded him. I thought that was addition by subtraction with his behavior. We talk about that ad nauseum on this program here. They're going to get an extra second round pick in the 2025 draft. They trade down twice in this draft. One of them with the Kansas City Chiefs, who got the fastest guy in the draft. Everybody saying that was idiotic. They didn't even have a first round pick, and they got Keon Coleman, who I was talking about on Friday with Carlos Man, New Yorker Chavez, is the reminds me of Plexico Burris, wide receiver out of Florida State. Then they got this safety that has got high regards out of, what is his name? I lost track of him. Got a safety out of Utah, Cole Bishop, that I thought was a very good pickup as well in the second round. That's 2 second round. And Ray Davis, who ran over 200 yards against Florida, the University of Kentucky running back. So they've got Ray Davis and they've got, James Cook, the running back here. That's Dalvin Cook's run, who had a great year last year. So now you've got Ray Davis, who reminds me a lot of a physical Ray Rice, former Baltimore Raven running back. You've got him in the fourth round, and they got Coleman, who did not have a great 40 time, got him in the second round. Long body, 6'4", Keon Coleman from Florida State. He is going to work. Miracle. I mean, he's going to look great with Josh Allen. He's going to look absolutely good with Josh Allen. Ray Davis, again, fourth round pick. Love this safety out of Utah. So I don't think they had the 20. I'll put it this way. I'll go out on a limb, and if I'm wrong, I'll own it. I know it's April the 30th, and some of you saying, well, you're not going to memorize this come September. I will. September, October. Mark my word. Coleman's going to make an impact immediately with the Bills, and so is Ray Davis, the running back here, out of University of Kentucky. Pickles, he had 200 yards against Florida. Very physical run, very much like a Ray Rice here. I'm not sure. I think Rice was like a second or third round pick. He was not a first round pick out of Rutgers, I remember, where he went to school at. I do know that Isaiah Pacheco, Pickles, was a seventh round pick. And we know what he's done with the Chiefs. So Pickle says that Mel Kiper's paid to miss consistently. Yeah. Yeah. And I like Mel Kiper. I do think he's spot on about a lot of stuff. He talks so much draft, he's going to have misses. He's human. I get it, you know. But nobody's never hired him as a general manager. He's never been prodded to be it. He's never been, you say, well, how do you know? Because it's usually reported. It's usually reported that a personality, Mike Mayock got hired as a general manager with the Raiders. But John Gruden and the Raiders organization, but it was never been reported. Maybe it has, and he's turned it down for Kiper to be a general manager for any teams. He's been doing it for 40 years, and I like Mel Kiper. It's not, but I'm just saying these draft experts throwing teams like the Bills and the Falcons and the Titans under the bus here because they didn't get the star players here. That doesn't necessarily mean they had a bad draft, you know. The Packers were destroyed for drafting Jordan Love for a long time. Look at what Jordan Love has turned out to be in the 2020 draft. Look at, remember that? The guy sit for 3 years. They were destroyed for that. And now we know what happened. So, again, it is what it is. A couple other notes here. The Jets, listen, the Jets made a big mistake with Zach Wilson. Yes, I own it. I said it. They have missed on Mekhi Becton. They missed on all, was it offensive tackle? They missed at quarterback. But they've also had offensive rookie Garrett Wilson of the year, defensive rookie Sauce Gardner of the year too. So Joe Douglas is not a terrible general manager. I still like Olaf Fashanu. Again, like Madden New Yorker, no sacks allowed on his side. I like the discipline of the Jets not taking Brock Bowers, knowing that they needed extra help at the offensive line. A typical team like the Jets in the past, not Joe Douglas managed teams, in the past would be tempted to take a big salacious name like a Brock Bowers just to make headlines. And they didn't. They stayed disciplined. They added the extra depth to back up Tyler Smith, maybe even beat out Tyron Smith, former Dallas Cowboy, at that left tackle position. Kudos to them. And plus, hey, listen, they got Jordan Travis, former Florida State quarterback in the fifth round. That's as bad as this guy. They were undefeated. Remember, he got hurt towards the end of the year there. That's why that they had such an awful showing and did not make the playoff here. Good developmental guy. Maybe Jet fans, he sits 2 years behind Aaron Rodgers and learns, and maybe you have a Jordan Love 2.0. He's got some talent. Yeah, Jordan Travis has got some talent here. Now, all that being said, the whole thing can blow up, and Woody Johnson could go off the handle in January and fire everybody and start over. But, I like that pick here, you know. And, of course, the Bears there, they've got good draft grades. I did want to reemphasize, listen, Caleb Williams, I said this last Thursday during the draft. I can't state this enough that I've never seen a player, and there may be one in the past in my Rolodex in my mind, but usually when you're the number one pick, you don't have the kind of team that he's got as far as skill players. Roma Dunze, considered elite receiver, they drafted at 9. You got two Pro Bowl, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, veteran receivers there. You have a tight end they just gave a big Cole Kmet, just a big bunch of money to, which he deserved it. I love Cole Kmet. DeAndre Swift at running back here. They've got two tackles that they're very confident in, right tackle, left tackle. They got above average defense. You don't get that, Pickles, for a number one pick to walk in a situation. Now, could only thing better, could they have hired Jim Harbaugh instead of keeping Eberflus, yeah, and Shane Waldron. But everything else, he's walking into an ideal situation. I like their offseason. I like the fact they extended Jalen Johnson at cornerback. So it will be on Williams if he does not succeed or at least show great optimism for the organization, considering the weapons that he has. That being said, they are in a very tough division. Green Bay is going to be very good. Lions are my division winners again and Super Bowl appearance team as of today and still are. Okay? Let me make sure I didn't miss anything, and I'm going to get to this because I know Rich likes to come in early. He's Johnny on the spot here. Let's see. He's really good. I like Rich. He's a good dude, you know. So those are some thoughts. I'll dig more deep next weekend. I'll dig more deep into these schedules and see what the deal is. Or not schedules. Pickles put something about a schedule here. I'll dig more deep into these drafts and comment as we go along on certain teams. It's a big deal. We'll go into some off-season rankings now that everybody's air quote off-season has been complete since we've had free agency draft and whatnot. And I'm out of Nashville. You know, I've got Rich Ferris coming on here in about 15 minutes or less here. And I tell you what, I think the Titans are one of those teams that had a very good off-season, to say the least. Okay. All right. Switching to the round ball real quick here. Let's see. Bears have a mediocre quarterback, should win. Bears need to upgrade offseason workout schedule. Yeah, you hope they got an easy schedule. Texans may need another good draft. Okay. Okay, now we have a well of a playoff coming here pretty soon. Saturday, probably some of the best basketball of the NBA is coming up. The Denver Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves. All right. Last night, you know, Denver beat the Lakers in a tough. That's a tough. It's a 4-1. Every game was tough. You know, they had to come back and win. Jamal Murray supposedly had a mild calf strain. Still had 32 points. Had the game winner last night as well. Very, very good win, but it wasn't easy. It was not easy for Denver. They did get the win. They're going to play Minnesota Saturday, who complete a sweep. I tell you what, very impressive fashionable sweep there for Minnesota Timberwolves. Everybody's talking about Anthony Edwards. If you've been watching SportsScope for the past 2 years, I've been telling you this guy's coming. This is the team that I thought that would possibly show up net last year. Okay. Minnesota went out and got Rudy Gobert last year. And let me read the details of this. And everybody, all the national media, all the networks said this was terrible. You know, they got worked. But this is going back. Let's go back 1 year and 1 month ago, just about 1 year in about 4 or 5 weeks, excuse me. Minnesota traded 4 first-round picks, 1 first-round swap, the draft rights to Rookie of the Year candidate Walker Kessler and veterans Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverly, Jared Vanderbilt, and Leandro Melaro to the Utah Jazz for 3-time Defensive Player of the Year Rudy Gobert. And, man, I mean, the basketball experts, I thought, wait a minute. So that's Rudy Gobert, very good defensive rim protector, putting it lightly, 3-time Defensive Player of the Year, with Karl Anthony Towns. You got Conley on that team. Tremendous role player. I just mentioned, who was it, Naz Reid, that he's won Sixth Man of the Year. So you got that. You got that nice balance there of veteran young guy. Now, Anthony Edwards, again, I've said this. I figured this out probably a year and a half ago, maybe two, that Edwards, he was there to compliment Carl Anthony Towns. Edwards is a star on this team. He's better than Anthony Towns, you know. And I was listening to Doug Gottlieb, college basketball expert and NBA guy as well, talk about this on Jason Whitlock's Fearless show yesterday, talking about Minnesota being a year ahead, knowing Denver was the best team a year ago. Listen up, and saying what I've been saying, that was a pretty good deal there. That was a pretty good deal, even though he's pushing, he's going to be post-starting now, Rudy Gobert. Here's Doug Gottlieb talking about the Minnesota trade with Utah.
2 years now, so they have some cohesion. But when they made the Rudy Gobert trade, that was really, really forward-thinking. They knew who the best team was, and they were ready to take them down. And the rest of the league is trying to catch up to, now you got to be big. Because remember, if you look at Denver, it's not just about Jokic. Aaron Gordon's 6'10", 6'9", maybe, right? Michael Porter Jr. 6'9". They go 6'9", 6'10", 7' across the front line. You got to have size and versatility to compete with them. And I do think Minnesota has that. Nobody pays attention to the regular season. That's why we had to see it for real against Phoenix.
Now, who have been saying that? I've been saying a way to combat gold. Let's go back a few years, okay? Let's go back 5-6 years. I've been saying this since there were rumors that DeMarcus Cousins was going to get moved before he got hurt really bad. I think he tore his Achilles or something. That why don't you just go big? Why don't you go big? Use one of these European bigs and have an inside-out game and maybe add an extra big. Instead of going small ball, three ball centric, like everybody's doing, and only one team is very successful with that, and that was the Golden State Warriors. Okay, I was right there, and now, fast forward, like he said, Doug Gottlieb said, listen, he was a little bit off there because I know the actual measurements here. Aaron Gordon 6'8", Michael Porter 6'10", and then you got Joker, who is 7'. That's a big team right there. I mean, that's a big front three here that can, and a lot of coordination there, a lot of inside outside game there with Murray, who's got this cap. By the way, this really worked out good for Denver because they're going to be, again, this game's not going to be played until Saturday, you know. It's not even going to be played until Saturday. They're going to need the time off. I'll say this, and I just read, you know, I feel bad for Boston. Porzingis is going to be out several games. That's their big, you know. But right now, I think the winner of this series, by the way, it was 2-2 in the regular season between Minnesota and Denver. So you got bigs on bigs. Anthony Edwards, what did he have, 40 points the other night? Monster dunk, very Michael Jordan-like. And then you've got the experienced Denver Nugget team here. Nuggets got the home court advantage. I think it's probably Nuggets in a hard 6, maybe 7 games. But I think the winner of this, especially since the news I've heard about Porzingis in the East, will probably win the finals. I mean, that is a very – I mean, the Minnesota Timberwolves are that good right now. I mean, the light has went off for them. And then you look at a guy like a Anthony Edwards, the pressure, he doesn't have to carry this team, you know. It's not like, again, it's kind of like the Caleb Williams situation. He's number one pick 2020, the COVID year. It's why nobody really, he kind of slid under the radar, you know. It's not like he was put on a garbage team. He was put there to compliment Carl Anthony Towns, and somewhere around in there, just before he got drafted, Towns was rumored to be moved. Remember, I was saying, listen, Boston, won't he be a Boston Celtic? Karl Anthony Towns has watched SportsScope. When it was coming on Periscope out, you could see, I could see who watched my program. He did. So this team, I knew he had talent. I knew they were getting Conley, or they had Conley. Daniel's a pretty good player there as well, role player. Things were coming together slowly, but my point is, he's not asked to carry them every night, Edwards. You got the top defense in the league there. You got two rim protectors. He's not asked just to go crazy every single night and just carry the team like a Michael Jordan in 84. Very Jordan-like dunk he had the other day. Over a billion views here. One of the most since LeBron James's best internet sensation ever is what I read today about Anthony Edwards here. So that's going to be a well of a series here. And, of course, the flip side, the Suns, led by Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, get swept here. A lot of rumors that they're blaming Frank Vogel, that he was being just totally shut out by the locker room, the players not paying any attention to him. If you ask me, I know that Booker's still young. You could probably build around him. I'd just bust that whole team wide open, trade everybody, start over. You know they've got a new owner here. Homer, former Michigan State player, took over his dad's business. Guy's born on third base. Thought he can manufacture a quick championship by going out and getting making these wild trades, getting Kevin Durant last year, making the big trades, bringing in Bradley Beal, firing Monty Williams, bringing in Frank Vogel. I thought Vogel was going to work out, but when they got rid of Ayton, they should have tried to smooth over. I said that. Nurik was terrible at the rim protection. This team, jump shooters, totally zoned out, no pride, no defense, nothing. Just blow the whole team up, get money draft picks as you can, start over and be a little patient and look towards the future. Get the right general manager, get your right scouts in here, be patient. We saw what Oklahoma City's doing. They're likely going to be moving on. I think they already did, didn't they? Didn't they win? Either way, a team like Oklahoma City's moving on here. Minnesota's moving on here. You can win if you've got the right management. Don't matter where you are. Look at Minnesota, okay? San Antonio, not necessarily the biggest market in America. You know, they've got many championships and possibly many to come here with Victor Wembanyama there, okay? So, as far as the Lakers are concerned, I mean, this idea to even think that Darvin Ham would be on the hot seat when he's the only guy that even close since LeBron's been there to get that team to play defense. If anything, they should move on from LeBron, but they won't. You know, they won't. There was a report today that LeBron is going to end up signing, going to be there two more years. You know, and they're gonna draft his son with the second round pick just to sit on the bench just to appease LeBron, which they're big at selling tickets. But anyways, I'll go vent about him at another time. There's my man Rich Ferris here, just in time, and I'll bring him in from Cumulus Radio, Titans flagship 104.5 The Zone. Richard Ferris, who's always got a great microphone, by the way.
How's it going?
Vader out there, brother. How you doing, man?
Doing great.
Hey, listen, if I cut you off soon, it's because we're on Roku TV, and I don't want to go into through the Northeast streaming sports people. I don't want to go into the next hour into their show, so I'm trying to keep it within that 5 minutes before the show ends, before the top of the hour, so I'll make sure not to forget to plug your show, Big Tan and Rich, which comes on, what, 9 p.m. Central Wednesdays?
Yeah, Wednesday, 9 o'clock Central Time. Big Tan Rich, you can find us on Spotify, Apple. Those are where most people find us. So
Pickle still well, remembers you, brother.
Yeah.
You know, before you came backstage, man, I was telling the audience here that a lot of these national experts, I like Mel Kiper. I really do like Mel Kiper, but he's been way off before. You know, he gave the Titans a C. I read The Athletic. You've mentioned you read The Athletic. He said the Titans are 26. One of their writers said Titans had the 26th ranked draft here. And I think my point is, who really knows after the second round? Not unless it's a skilled player from a big name conference.
Well,
I mean, who really knows?
I mean,
who knows about Puka Nacua, Richard?
The draft grades are the most overrated thing. They're fun to look at. They're great, but nobody knows anything. I mean, the real time to grade a draft is 3 years after. So if we want to grade the 2021 draft for the Titans, which is horrible, by the way, you can do that now. You can't really do a draft grade for this draft. It's just
That's my point.
It's not finished.
Right there with me too, brother. That's what I was saying. Okay, I was a little bummed out that Joe Alt. I'm still a little irritated with Jim Harbaugh taking Joe Alt, but I've gotten over it. It's been about 72 hours plus. So, J.C. Latham, don't let me put words in your mouth. What's your thoughts, brother?
Well, I think they wanted Joe Alt. I think it's strange that I put out a what I figured was their draft board on Facebook, on my Facebook page. Monday before the draft. And I felt like it was pretty spot on, especially how it played out. But I figured the Titans were looking at, look, if Marvin Harrison Jr. was there, which we all thought that was not a chance at all. He was the top of their board. Then Joe Alt, then J.C. Latham, then I think Malik Nabers, and so on. And so I think it's interesting the Chargers took Joe Alt when they could have took J.C. Latham. I felt like that was a better fit for John Harbaugh.
Yeah.
They don't need a left tackle. They need a right tackle. And it's just kind of funny how they swapped out. I was hoping that the Titans would have gotten Joe Alt because I think he's more of a true left tackle. I think J.C. Latham is very capable of being left tackle. He played at high school. And I think before he got to Alabama, I'm not sure if he was playing for another school or not, but was going to play left tackle. But at the time, Evan Neal was there.
Yes.
So they moved him to right and just figured they would have just two really good tackles, which they did. And, I like the J.C. Latham pick, knowing that Joe Alt's off the board.
Yeah, yeah. I was telling the crowd here the other day, I counted it, man. Six tackles after Latham in the first round. So that tells you he was pretty good. And I also read that Carthon said he had multiple trade offers and stayed with Latham. What have you heard about that?
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be trade offers on a lot of their, picks. I know that they had a lot of calls for their 38th pick in the second round. But they ultimately didn't see any, it's one thing to get calls, but are they good deals for the Titans? So I think he ultimately decided that the player that he would, sacrifice for that trade was not worth it. So he stuck with his board and ultimately I think got the tackle that they really liked. I think that he's a big physical, he's just a wall. Like if you watch his tape, nobody can really get around him. Once he's got his hands on him, they're not going anywhere. I think the only knock really he had was he had a little bit of penalties, but I think that comes naturally with the right tackle being, especially in the run game where he's very physical. And, so moving him over to left, I don't think it's going to be an issue. And they even addressed it in their press conference that he will play left tackle. And I think it's good that they came out and just said that right off the jump. It wasn't this whole, what's he going to do thing. But I think worst case, if they have to move in the right tackle, then, I mean, they have the right tackle.
Yeah. He's really good. I did read that Bill Callahan, who's now the offensive line coach, took Jedarik Willis with Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Also a former Alabama. I'm not in love with the Alabama tackles. Also a former Alabama tackle. Moved him from right to left. He got a second contract. Very successful there.
Yeah. I think J.C. Latham's way higher, way more talented than than him, and they had Cleveland had success with moving him around. Obviously, like you mentioned, Bill Callahan is here in Tennessee now, and is expected to work magic with this offensive line. They've signed a really good center. They have a second year left guard, and now they're left tackle. So they have a couple of veterans on for their right guard, and Dylan Radins, who was a second round pick a couple of years ago, in the mix, and then the right tackle position, they have numerous guys that they can have a battle for. I think Petit Ferrer is somebody that would, you know, probably win that battle as of right now, but and he was a third round pick from Ohio State. That I think is pretty solid, and I think with Bill Callahan's coaching, he could, you know, possibly be a really good starter.
Yeah, I'm looking at the depth chart, man. You just mentioned Dylan Radins. He's listed as right tackle. They've got Nicholas Petit Farid listed as a backup left. Do you think that'll stay like that?
I don't think so. I think that at least to the start, I think J.C. Latham's their left tackle.
Yes.
And I think Petit Frere's their right tackle. I think Dylan Radins is in the mix to play right guard or right tackle.
Okay.
So he's in the mix. There's going to be probably a really big, you know, camp battle for that right tackle spot and maybe right guard. But Daniel Brunskill was a pretty good veteran that was solid last year still there. Yeah, so
right guard, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think he's kind of penciled in as of right now. And then you have, you know, three or four guys, and even the seventh round pick from last year, Jalen Duncan, who could also be in the mix for a tackle spot too.
Nice. So it sounds like they're really building up some depth there on that offense. Something we haven't seen.
It's getting there. It's getting there. And I think they'll sign someone too before, or maybe, you know, I think they'll sign a veteran, somebody like Andres Pete that played for the Saints previously. He's been in for a visit. He can play left tackle, left guard. He can pretty much play any position except for center, but I think somebody like him, they're going to sign just to have that veteran depth piece that could push, you know, for starting, that could, you know, be in the mix if they sign him.
I love that, man. Now let's go to that second round pick, Tavondre Sweat. Now he looked great. His film looked good.
Kinda
Haynesworth, quick as a cat. Now
he's a massive athletic human being. With their two picks, the Titans drafted over 700 pounds worth of humans. Of two bodies that they have. Huge nose tackle that they needed there. That I think is going to really help the defensive line. He's another wall that you watch his film. People just can't move him. Just like J.C. Latham, like, just people don't move those two guys. They're too big. They're too strong. And so having him in the middle of that defensive line is just going to help Jeffrey Simmons and, their edge rushers. So I think that was a really good pickup. I know there's been a lot of criticism for that pick, but I honestly like the pick. I thought that they may have, went defensive tackle there. There was a run on defensive tackles there. And I think it's what a lot of people need to look at when you look at these drafts is, you know, who's best available, where do they fit on, for what do the teams look for, and where, if there's going to be a run and they need to get their guys, they may need to take them now versus trying to wait or trade back and lose out on somebody they want. And so there was a big run on tackles there. And they got a tackle that I think is really going to help the defense. And I think he's a big-time run stuffer too, and can put pressure on the quarterback. And so it's going to take two bodies just to you know, deal with him. And, you know, you can only double-team him or Simmons, so it's before you're leaving somebody free. So, it's going to give offenses a problem.
Are they going to be in a 3-4 or 4-3?
Yeah, it's a 3-4. But honestly, like 3-4, I mean, you put that on paper, but, you know, a lot of defenses are like some kind of nickel, some kind of sub package because of how the offenses are. It's nobody's really always in a traditional 3-4, 4-3. There's always pieces moving around depending on what the offense sets up. A lot of offenses are going to have three wide receivers or two wide receivers, two tight ends. So, there's always going to be a matchup thing when it comes to how it looks on the field.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you concerned that he had a DWI just before the draft?
Not really. I mean, look, is DWIs, DUIs are very serious.
Yeah.
People make mistakes, and I think his situation was on the lesser end of what happened. It wasn't like he, you know, was going. It wasn't like he's going 110 miles an hour, hit somebody, killed somebody.
Yeah.
Could, you know, not to say that that couldn't happen. You shouldn't be doing that, especially nowadays. You got Uber, Lyft, all that good stuff.
Right.
To your, you know, available for you. And so his situation, I think somebody ran into him, and you know, caused the police to show up. And but you know, it's a young kid. You know, you make mistakes as a young kid. I know I have. So I mean, coming out of college and stuff. So I mean, I don't think that's a huge character issue of his. There's never hasn't been a lot of character issues been brought up for him. Right now, I don't think he's nowhere near somebody that you got to watch out like you had to for Isaiah Wilson.
Yes, yeah, and I told the audience this the other day. You know, Jalen Carter had a much more serious incident.
That's who I was trying to think of just a second ago. I couldn't remember if it was an Alabama player, but Georgia Jalen.
Yeah, and he almost won Rookie of the Year. He was right there with Will Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Right at the end to win Rookie of the Year, and so far so good. It's only been 1 year, but
yeah,
you know, if of course Rand, he knows that Rand Carthon, if something happens, it's on him.
Yeah, they took a 30 visit to go with him and a lot of their coaches down there to really check in on his character, and so you know, they really did their homework on him and decided to make that decision to pick him at 38.
Man, you know something. Byron Murphy went in the first round. That's the other tackle. And Sweat here went in the second round. These two guys kind of remind me of John Henderson and Albert Haynesworth out of Tennessee. Two defensive tackles, both played well in the NFL, mm-hmm. both drafted first, second. I think they both went in the first round, didn't they?
Yeah, Haynesworth, I know. Yeah, they were both first rounders, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just kind of had that flashback thinking of those two players. Hopefully they'll have
just a little bit darker orange. as some would say, probably not the real UT.
Not the real UT. It depends on where you're at here.
It depends on where you're from. If you're here, it's Tennessee. If you're there, it's Texas. So I think the argument is that the University of Tennessee was founded before the other. So, you know, if you want to debate that, there are dates that you can look and see, but
oh man. what are your thoughts on the remaining picks, brother? I saw something about, didn't they get a linebacker from North Carolina?
So they didn't have a third round pick, and it felt like forever before they got to pick
Cedric Gray
from North Carolina. Very good middle linebacker, very productive, 3-year starter, pretty sure a team captain, all the accolades you'd want out of, you know, a middle linebacker, you know, a tackling machine, can cover cover tight ends and people up the middle. Very excited about that pick. I'm surprised he was there. And you know, they desperately needed a true middle linebacker. So I think that he'll probably get a start right away coming in. I really like that pick. Their fourth round or fifth round pick with the corner from Louisville, Brownlee Jr.
Brownlee.
Yeah,
I'm calling Brownlee because I'm thinking about brownies, but yeah, Brownlee.
Yeah, Brownlee Jr. Very aggressive corner that I think fits exactly what this defense is about. With the new defensive coordinator coming over for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yes.
He's a very aggressive, you know, defense, especially with his DBs. Obviously, they made moves to get, you know, two of the better corners in the league that are very aggressive as well. And I think a lot of people compared Brownlee Jr. A lot to that style that he's looking for, and just like Jadarius Sneed, there's a lot of comps that are similar to him and Jadarius Sneed.
Yeah.
So you watch his tape, it's just, you just see him hitting people, being aggressive, pushing people off the line. So a lot of that style, you see in him that I think that they're looking for in this new defense. And the same thing for the safety from Miami, that they selected. He's a very aggressive hitter, but I think he's going to play more linebacker or almost like a dime safety where he's in the box. He's very big. He's want to say 6'3", almost 240.
He does look like a linebacker, don't he?
Yeah, and I'm pretty positive they're going to put him at linebacker to start.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You put on his tape and you just see him hitting people hard, like running people down, hitting them, you know, out of bounds, and just a very aggressive DB. That's kind of what they're looking for, and so I think he fits that very well. Their sixth round pick, Jaquan Jackson, the wide receiver from Tulane, was interesting. Was it Malik Jackson? No, Malik Williams. That was from Washington, a very productive wide receiver, was available, and that was my hope that they would take him. That was opposite of Roman Dunze.
Number three on Washington.
Or number two, I think.
I thought Polk was the number two. We know Roman Dunze was.
Yeah, so he played with them and had over 1,000 yards. Very productive college career. Very big season last year. I think it was obviously overshadowed by Roman Dunze, but had a lot of production, and he was available right there, and I thought that was the pick. And they went with Jaquan Jackson from Tulane, and I don't really know a whole lot about him. I know that he was Tajay Sharpe's roommate, who's the running back for the Titans right now.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure they know a lot about him, done their homework on him. I know that since the kickoff rules have changed and everything, I know he'll be the return guy right away. He's very explosive, very fast, and
about that new kickoff? I'm kind of excited about that.
It's exciting because, I mean, the last few years, it's just like it hadn't really even been a thing almost. I mean, it is something that I think that's smart for them in the sixth round, see a guy there that has that ability and can be a slot receiver that runs a high 4.3, low 4.2, that's very twitchy and a lot like Tajay Sharpe. Tajay Spears. For the Titans. So interested to see, him and his, what he does when he gets his opportunities. And then I guess to wrap up, their seventh round pick, Jalen Harrell from Michigan.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised that he was there in the seventh round. He was very productive, played a lot. Michigan defense, I think maybe, we'll see, but maybe, with it being a John Harbaugh defense, that maybe some of these guys aren't as talented. It's just a scheme. Yeah. Maybe that's why a lot of these guys fell later. But Jalen Harrell, very productive career, especially last season. And I think is somebody that will probably have to, earn his stripes on special teams. But gives him depth there at outside linebacker and hopefully makes a team and maybe could be a little bit of a steal there. But I really like watching his tape. Like I said, that Michigan defense, there was a lot of guys picked off of it. And just surprised to see him in the seventh round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I'm really excited about, somewhat excited about, is I'm looking at this list of players you mentioned. And it's a little bit of a relief is a better word. The sixth round pick. From Tennessee through Philadelphia, the fifth round pick from Minnesota through Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So that come from the Byard trade. Remember, they end up cutting. So Tennessee won that trade.
Unfortunately, just Kevin Byard, I think, lost a little bit of stuff. He's now with the Bears, so we'll see. But I do think there was something weird going on with the Eagles last year. They obviously lost a lot of games at the end of the season after almost going. But they win like 10 in a row or something. They're 11. They won a lot of games up front, and then that last six games and even the playoffs, they just did not seem like the same team. Their secondary just seemed completely out of whack, and so I don't know if that's necessarily all on Kevin Byard, but. probably. Yeah, I think unfortunately, as much as I love Kevin Byard, he's a great dude. And was a great Titan, one of the best third round picks you could ever ask for.
Right.
Hope to see him retire as a Titan when he's done. But yeah, I think it's just, you know,
but it's cool
lost a little bit of a step.
Yeah.
Lost a little bit of a step, and you know, they ultimately Eagles are moving on, and now he's a Chicago Bear, so we'll see if that his season turns out. But yeah, it is interesting to see them, you know, select another DB there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I picked up a few players here from that Philadelphia trade, so Titan fans don't get too bummed out. I noticed that they extended A.J. Brown, and I don't know about you, but Brown has been chirping a lot.
That's what he does.
Two wide receivers max contracts like that, Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. I love their draft. I love those two corners Philly picked.
Yeah.
But, man, A.J. Brown, I feel like this could be T.O. 2.0 in a few years from now. Just
I don't know. I think it's a body type, and he's – I don't think he's as a diva as T.O. was, but okay. he definitely can rub people the wrong way or come off a way that isn't – you're just kind of like, what are you doing? And
Yeah.
And
when they're up big in games about getting the ball, he's –
But AJ's a player. I mean, on the field, that guy is just amazing. I mean, one of the best receivers in the league. He had two really good seasons with them.
Yeah. So,
but you know, I think they're giving those contracts because they haven't extended Jalen Hurts, right?
So no, I thought they did last year, actually.
Oh, they did? Okay. I was about to say, maybe they're still in that.
Yet, Rich. I don't know. They got monopoly money up there, brother.
Yeah, I was hoping that – I was thinking that maybe – you know, they were in that window of that's why they're able to spend that money. But, you know, they've had a lot of changes too, especially on defense. So, but I think that they tend to
a new coordinator. Yeah.
They tend to accumulate some really good players. And,
well, those two corners are great, wouldn't they? Tennessee would maybe get Cooper DeJean.
You know, I thought that was interesting too.
Corner, man.
With him sitting there, you know, I think that he could have been a definitely a really good safety. But I don't know if he would have been. They kind of already have, you know, with I think he would play a very similar position as Amani Hooker. So I think they maybe thought, you know, hey, he kind of plays that same position. Or
he's a corner.
I think he'll play. I think he'll be a really good safety.
Okay.
He'll probably play a lot of nickel and stuff like that. He may play outside some, but I think a lot of people see him that he could be. Eric Weddle was a comparison being thrown out a lot with him.
Oh, Weddle and was great in his game.
Yeah. So I can see a lot of that in him too. But you know, if they would have picked him, I'd have been fine with it because right now they do need some safety help. Even though they drafted one late. I think they'll still sign a
Justin Simmons
prospect. Yeah, I was just about to say. I think they're bringing in a veteran safety, Justin Simmons, and I think is it Marcus May are two guys they've brought in before the draft, and I could see them signing one of those two. There's a couple other pretty good name free safety or safeties that are out there that you know there's pretty good list still out there of free agent safety. So I would imagine them signing one of those here in the next few weeks.
Okay, so you got your show coming up Wednesday. I'm gonna guess it's gonna be the draft, but I'm not gonna put any words in your mouth.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit of the draft. We'll talk. You know, we got some other topics we'll hit. One thing real quick too, before we take off, is your undrafted free agents. I'm sure you probably like for the Titans with a couple of balls there.
Who was
with, it? That Jamari Small and Gabe Judy Lolly. The corner. So they had one of their featured running backs and a corner that the Titans have signed as an unrestricted free agent. And they also have two other guys that I'm excited about to see what happens. Cole, I can't think of his last name, but Texas Tech guard that they have signed that you could keep an eye on, as well as the running back from Washington that had a huge year last year.
Yeah.
They signed him too.
Man.
So you know, a lot of competition back behind the running back position for the Titans coming up. on that third running back spot.
That's going to be interesting. I love Jabari Small plays big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ray Davis, Kentucky running back, end up going to Buffalo. But somebody's going to get a bargain at running.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think Ray Davis going to but the Bills at four. I was hoping maybe Tennessee would grab him.
Yeah, Ray Davis, one of I know people that I talked to, one of from the Senior Bowl, one of their favorite people there. I think Jalen Wright going to Miami is a great fit. Woo! That he could see some action pretty early with the way that they rotate their speedy running backs out.
Yeah. You know something, we still got a few more minutes here. I was reading this on Pro Football Focus this morning. That there's the number one pick overall next year is supposed to be this Pierce guy
from University. Oh yeah, James Pierce. Yeah, he's outstanding outside linebacker. Yes.
Wow.
100%.
Is he going to be like Michael Parsons or something? Number one pick?
I don't know how I would compare him, but he is a very good outside linebacker that's still very young. Had a pretty good season last year, but I think he could really explode this year and be, I think a top five pick at minimum.
Yeah. They're saying he's the best prospect, could be number one overall pick. And I thought, I don't know, man. There's always a quarterback that's going to rise up, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe Quinn Ewers blows up, you know, with Texas at quarterback. Or
yeah, it really depends on what team it is, if they need a quarterback or not. I think whoever the team, he could definitely be in the mix of a team that doesn't need a quarterback in that top five.
Yeah. Anything else going on? Do you need a plug, man?
I don't think so. Just, exciting draft. I think Detroit did a good job for hosting. I think a lot of people in Nashville are kind of wanting to take the crown back in the attendance record. Would love to see it come back here sometime soon. I think just an exciting draft. And, for everybody listening, if they want to catch our show tomorrow night, 9:00, Big Ten Rich on Spotify, Apple. So check us out.
Yeah. Rich Ferris, 104.5 The Zone. Always got the inside, man. I always learned something that I didn't know prior to the fact. Go back and listen to stuff. Yeah, and I'll plug it and we'll, put it out there on the internet. Appreciate it, Rich. Have a good night, man.
You too, man.
All right, buddy. See ya. Kick from studio. So everybody, I'll be back here probably Monday or Tuesday of next week. Have a lowdown, give you some playoff talk. Start doing this team by team, going over these draft picks here, doing a little bit more in-depth dive, be a little bit more settled in. Have a good night, everybody. I'll see you then here on Sports Scope, and make sure and tune in tomorrow. Of course, I'm going to have awesome replays, great interviews that you may have not have seen in the past here. Thanks, everybody.